Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off-Menu podcast. If it's not delivered within 30 minutes or less, you get your money back.
Convenient.
Convenient, like a food delivery, James?
We're all a winner.
We're all a winner.
Sometimes I deliberately try and slow the delivery man down.
Do you?
Yeah. Do an obstacle course all the way through the hallways so he can't get to my door in time.
Oh, right. Within your flat.
Yeah.
Within the block of flats rather than within your actual flat.
Yeah, within the block of flats. I put an obstacle course. I swap all the numbers on all the doors in the flats so he gets to the wrong one first. I hide my doorbell so he can't ring it.
How do you hide your doorbell?
I just take it off, unscrew it, and then I hide it under the doormat. Last place he'd check.
It seems quite inconvenient for you, all of this.
Free eats, Ed. Free Tucker.
Well, welcome to the Off-Menu podcast. I'm Ed Gamble. That man over there is James Acaster. Say hello, James.
Eating for free.
Now, we are here to talk to a special guest in their dream restaurant about their perfect meal, which consists of, James...
Favourite ever, starter, main course, dessert, side dish and drink. Not in that order.
And our special guest this week is the one and only...
Michael Skinner.
So we'll go with the formal Michael now, and hopefully we get to know him during the show. And he can be Mike.
His manager calls him Michael at the end of when you wasn't famous.
Yes. By the way, James is such a little fanboy. He's so excited that
I love the streets. Do I love Mike Skinner? Not met him.
Not met him yet.
I bet I love him.
I bet you love
him. I love the streets, though.
And James loves the streets so much that this week we always have a secret ingredient where if the guest mentions it, they get removed from the restaurant. But this week, the secret ingredient is streets-themed, James.
Plenty of fried tomato.
If Mike Skinner mentions plenty of fried tomato in his meal... He will be removed from the restaurant. And we'll do it.
Especially if he has plenty of scrambled eggs and plenty of fried tomato. Then it's a double kick out.
Yeah, see you later. And if he does that, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say, get out. Get out there on the streets.
Oh, Ed, that will burn him so bad.
I hope he does say that now.
Oh, I hope you get to say that to him, Ed. Even though I'm really excited to have him on the podcast. It'd be so good if you go get out on the streets. I used to have a joke about the streets.
Did you?
It was an open spot.
Did you?
Yeah. I slept on the streets last night. Fortunately, Mike Skinner was surprisingly comfortable.
Oh. I like it. The Benito's clapping.
Benito loves it.
Yeah.
Rarely get a clap from Benito.
No, that's
a true. A rarity.
He loved that.
Ah, a tip of the cap from the Pharaoh.
I really enjoyed that joke, James.
Yes.
Because you could see, if you were doing it as an open spot,
the choice of language and the way you delivered it. Sure. You could see you were going to be good. But let's be honest, the joke itself is poor.
Oh, the joke itself is like, well, I mean, what really sleeping on Mike Skinner?
Yeah.
Doesn't really make sense at all. Doesn't really, I mean, using him as a mattress.
Yes. And, well, the mattress is on his way in, so we better get going.
Don't call him the mattress to his face.
Okay.
Please
Remember
try
it.
Not to.
Remember, Ed, don't call him the mattress.
Here we go. Mike Skinner, baby. Mike Skinner, baby.
Here's the off-menu of...
Mike
the
Skinner!
Mattress. Ah, damn it.
Oh, no, Ed!
Welcome, Mike Skinner, to the Dream Restaurant. That's the genie. There's a genie waiter at this Dream
Jungian,
Restaurant.
The Jungian, is this, you know, literal dream or...
What do you mean by literal dream? Like it's not...
I mean, there isn't such a thing, is there?
Yeah, yeah.
No, because as soon as it's literal...
I meant to put restaurant on the end of dream.
Right, okay.
And using dream as, like, good, you know?
Yeah, good. Yes. I think it's good.
But Carl Jung, you know... He liked to go underground, didn't he?
Did he?
Well, dreaming certainly. Yeah, I mean, not anything else, not restaurants.
We've not confronted whether this is a Jungian dream restaurant, have we?
No, we haven't sorted that out.
We're
yet.
Taking dream in its
I guess because it's you know because it's your dream restaurant really. So
yeah,
like,
but it can be
Jungian,
you
want to make it Jungian,
or
you
it can just be good.
Yeah, you can make it good. Can make it young. What do you mean he dreamt underground? Like a little mole.
I meant that dreams are, you know, under, you know, your subconscious is under what you, you know, you act. And then above that, you sort of think about those acts. Mm-hmm. And then finally you talk about those acts.
Yes.
That's the evolution of man.
So in those three stages, where does the
dream... you don't know what you're thinking. That's what Carl Jung said.
Oh, you never know what you're thinking.
You don't know what you're thinking.
Oh.
And you do stuff sometimes. Do you ever do things you don't know why you did them?
Yep.
All the time. Most things I do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Say a lot of stuff. I don't know why I said it.
So is that, and that's the subconscious coming to the fore, is it?
Yeah.
So the dream restaurant could be a representation of your subconscious, or it could just be a nice restaurant.
Without even if it was just a good restaurant, it would still represent your subconscious.
So
whether or not you wanted it to or not.
So straight away, in your dream restaurant, what are you seeing? What's the first thing you see when you walk in?
Sort of black.
Just blackness.
Okay, so here's the subconscious.
yeah. Just like a black cube.
Yeah.
Just blackness. Formless as well? Formless? Or?
Sort of a black sludge?
I wouldn't go so far as to say formless. I'd say... Certainly curved.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
So we're in a black curve.
Yeah. No, there's... I mean...
Any seats?
I like... Okay, so, you know, I was maybe playing for gags there a little bit, but, you know, you're a comedian.
Yep.
So, but no, I do like dark spaces.
Dark spaces.
With music that you can talk over.
Okay.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And actually people that you can talk over as well.
I was in a juice, Joe and the Juice. You've been to Joe and the Juice before?
I have been to those sorts of places.
And
I like a spicy tuna panini.
Oh, yeah, sure.
When I'm on a cheat day.
Yeah. And,
which is every day.
There's no better cheat than a spicy tuna panini.
Always cheating. the music in there, I would say, well,
it's dance music.
I was about to take credit for this. My girlfriend pointed out that the music, she said it's a bit loud for juice, isn't
it? Yeah, no, it's like being an Ibiza.
Yeah.
Joe and the Juice. Yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, way
particularly in Stansted Airport, because they have one in Stansted.
Yeah.
So Juice should be quiet music, really, shouldn't it?
Well, but that's the amazing thing about Joe and the Juice, isn't there?
Yeah. They just so loud for Juice.
Who sponsor this podcast?
Yeah,
right?
They're the sponsor. Yeah. We're mentioning them a lot.
Squarespace? Do you want me to talk about?
Yeah, just mention Squarespace.
If I was going to build a website for Joe and the Juice,
on Squarespace.
With what's the email one? Gorilla Boy or whatever it's called? Monkey Dad.
Monkey Dad, Gorilla Boy.
Is it? What is it?
No,
we're not doing this.
I want Mike to continue to guess what it's called. Okay, wait till he gets to Gibbon Nephew or something. You mentioned Joe and the Juice at Stansted Airport, which reminded me of I met a man once whose his favourite restaurant in the world was the Carluccio's at Heathrow.
And he I really hate that.
Yeah.
No, can I tell you why I hate that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's before you go through the gate.
Yeah.
And yeah. Who eats?
Who's eating? Yeah,
who,
exactly.
Who gets to an airport and goes, you know what? I don't care how long the queue's going to be. Yeah. I've got no anxiety about whether someone might, you know, find something on my person and choose to search me anally.
Yeah.
I'm just going to sit in Carluccio's outside the gate and really just throw, you know, caution to the wind, you know.
Quite literally,
and just
if someone's going to search
you
anally.
You know, my Fusilli and my robust Malbec, and just not give a shit about the fact that there's a plane there
but
that might take off without me.
Here's the truly mind-blowing thing
so
about
that
this.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, but here's...
But the guy wasn't going on a flight. That's the mind-blowing thing. He would travel to Heathrow, eat in the Carluccio's, and then go back home.
But now we're cooking with gas.
This guy would take his family there. So he'd take his wife and two kids to Heathrow just to go to the Carluccio's at Heathrow because it's his favourite Carluccio's.
And he liked looking at the planes, right?
I don't know if he...
You don't see the planes from the Carluccio's, no.
Okay. He never said that he liked looking at the planes, that guy.
There's no windows.
Yeah.
No windows.
It's your dream restaurant.
Yeah.
Completely black in there.
You can be black with windows.
Yeah. But it would just need to be black outside.
There would have to be
well.
Very little light pollution. You know, you'd have to be in sort of southern India.
Yeah.
You know.
So your dream restaurant is a Carluccio's in southern India.
I've been to Carluccio's.
Yes.
Like all of us, you know. Yeah. And it's great, you know.
It does the job, doesn't it?
No, I mean, black curves, windows, very little light pollution.
Bang, we're in.
I'm a cultured guy.
Before we start, because you're doing a lot of travelling for your job, haven't you? You've seen the world. Best airport food you've ever had? Best meal you've ever had in an airport?
Curveball question.
Bit of a curveball question. But while we're on,
I once had a really nice arancini.
Oh yeah.
Which is a deep fried rice ball.
Love it.
I'm going to say Milan, actually, yeah.
Milan Airport.
Although it could have been Naples.
But it was that neck of the woods. You had a very nice arancini.
It was definitely Italy.
Yeah, lovely arancini in a airport.
Yeah.
Did you exclaim on it? When you had it, were you like, this is the best thing I've ever had in an airport?
Food... I like food. Yeah.
we ask up top, are you a foodie? Would you consider yourself a foodie or is it more a fuel situation?
I don't think anyone has the right to claim to be more of a foodie than anyone else.
Interesting.
It's not like, sort of high-end racing drones, is it? Or Byzantine... patterns, you know, it's food. Yeah. Everyone does it. You know, we all have to eat, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're all foodies. So I say I'm a foodie as much as you could ever be.
Sure.
So yeah, foodies is like you talked about. We're all foodies, as in like you know, just being anything that eats is a foodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A dog a foodie?
I do know some foodie dogs. My dog is highly motivated by food.
More so than humans, most dogs.
Not hugely fussy.
Yes.
Highly motivated by food.
Yeah.
There's another dog I know.
Yeah.
That dog, very difficult to get it to eat.
Really?
To the point where its owner fries chicken in the morning.
Right.
Orders a separate Deliveroo for the dog.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm having, let's say, arancini, you know, from Carluccio's.
Yeah.
Not as good as...
the Milan airport.
Heathrow airport, Milan airport.
Airport arancini is airport arancini.
Come on, come on.
Airport arancini.
Yeah, so the dog that I know has a meal cooked... or delivered.
So, are you saying that the dog who has a human meal delivered to it,
yes,
is less of a foodie than the dog that is just motivated by food and will eat anything?
I just simply playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
You know. But you tell me.
Interesting debate, isn't it?
I mean, it, you know.
So there's one that gets Deliveroo, pretty picky dog.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I there's mean, one that's more motivated.
Arguably, really, that dog doesn't like food.
Doesn't
does
like
really?
Food, yeah. But has to have a human yeah. meal.
And my dog really just, you know, anything.
Just loves it.
Absolutely loves it.
What are they getting on
chicken
Deliveroo
feet,
for the dog?
You know,
chicken feet.
All that stuff on the pellets, you know.
Yeah.
You put some pellets.
You shouldn't
on
give them. A dog chocolate, though, or grapes. You know
that's
that.
That's poisonous for dogs.
I didn't know about grapes. Madness. I knew about chocolate. I didn't know about grapes.
Well, do but you I own a dog?
No.
Why are we even talking about it, then?
Because well, I was
you have no
you.
Experience of the subject.
You were saying.
You're asking, quite frankly, a professional.
Yeah. That's how you learn in life.
I think even if you don't have a dog, you should know instinctively not to give a dog grapes.
What? And you should always play tennis with someone who's better than you.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Is that what I'm doing now?
This is a metaphor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're with a really good tennis player right
we're
now.
A great
you know.
Tennis player. I've owned a dog. Yeah.
I'm returning every yeah. shot. You know.
You are.
You're the Nadal of owning a dog.
I'm swinging wildly in the wind, but I haven't hit a single ball.
No.
Yeah, that's true. But I just didn't know the grape thing.
No, but I didn't know the grape thing, but I mean, if I think about it deep down,
more,
I did.
You know, I mean, when I had a dog as a kid, we didn't know any of this. You know,
no.
Grapes, chocolate,
no,
none of that.
Think how many dogs were lost to the
grape.
Well,
I don't remember any
chocolate.
Dogs dying because, I mean...
But you didn't know at the time. That might be why all those dogs were dying.
I just think the world's gone politically... correct, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Political correctness gone mad. Can't even give a grape to a dog these days. Would you like still or sparkling water, Mike?
Get that clean,
Mitch
James.
Sprudel.
Still or sparkling.
Sprudel! Mitch Sprudel!
what are you saying Mitch Sprudel for?
With bubbles.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah. Fantastisch.
That's lovely.
So kari samadechta.
Now, where have you learnt this?
That was Japanese.
So, do you learn bits of language everywhere you go?
No.
So,
just Germany and Japan.
Just Germany and Japan,
those
please.
Those are the two.
They're the best.
You know, sparkling water in three languages.
I love Germany.
Yes.
I love Germany.
Been there a lot?
Loads.
Where's the best place?
Sometimes more than the UK. We've done tours that have been bigger in, or more dates in Germany than...
Oh, really?
In the UK. I don't know why that is. But we tend to do more festivals in the UK.
Are you surprised by that? Because, like, obviously, you, especially, like, to begin... Actually, always, have like made sure it's, like, quite UK-centric, your lyrics and stuff like that. Is it surprising when places like Germany...
I mean, yeah, at the very beginning it was. But I think as you get older, you realise that being specific is a way of sort of being general in a way, you know. People just want authenticity, you know. If I'm listening to like a German rapper, I want to hear really what it is like in Strasbourg.
Yeah.
You know, which is not in Germany, you know. It's just sort of near Germany.
But he could visit.
Yeah.
Frankfurt.
Yeah.
He could have visited, couldn't he?
Yeah. Visited. It could have been a song about his holiday. But he had.
You're right. No one's listening to, like...
I'm a German in Strasbourg. Do I really feel...
That was Walking in Memphis, wasn't it? That was the...
You see what I did there?
Yeah.
You see
good.
What I did there?
Instant parody.
You've taken me to three different places in one line there. Yeah. So sparkling water, Mike, that's always your choice, is it?
I mean, it reminds me of being really thirsty, sparkling water. And I think that's good because... I've often woken up in the middle of the night having drank all of the still water.
Yeah, okay. In a hotel or something. Yeah, yeah.
In a hotel.
Got it.
Yes, sure.
And it's like you're so thirsty. Yeah. It's like, I'm just going to hit the sprudel. Yeah. So you pop the cap. And weirdly, the fizz and the and the hydration just is and you learn to love that. You learn to love it.
Yeah.
You know, you learn.
Yeah.
You've
and
got
then,
to
and then
to love
weirdly,
the
it's like because it's a last resort, weirdly, then when you're in a restaurant and maybe you've got a music video to get ready for and you can't be drinking Stella Artois. Mm-hmm. Or even Chassin Montrachet, you know.
Sure.
Stella Artois, Chassin Montrachet, a robust Malbec. Sometimes it's got to be sparkling water.
The Sprudel is
and
a nice replacement.
At that point, you can, you know, go from feeling like this is really not fun to this reminds me of that time when I was desperately thirsty and this stuff saved my life.
So you're sort of thinking if you can't have a Stella Artois, you'll have a Sprudel. It's like a sort of flavourless lager, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Is that what you see it as that?
I never see it as a flavourless lager, no. Although, I did try to put fizzy water into an espresso machine once.
What?
And that doesn't really work, but it kind of tastes like the champagne of coffee.
Oh, is that what it was like?
Yeah.
I've had a fizzy coffee before. It was by accident. It didn't really work for me, I'll be honest.
Yeah, the fizzy
but
coffee.
I'll try it again and think of it as the champagne of coffee. I think it's going to work lovely.
Where were you when you did this fizzy coffee?
In Stockwell.
You were in Stockwell?
Yeah.
I used to live in Stockwell.
Okay. So you drank in the Canton Arms?
I have drank in the Canton Arms.
You don't drink,
Arms,
do you?
Yeah. I do. Yeah, but I'm a big boy. Yeah. But like...
I spent a lot of time DJing, right? And I think that's probably... more similar to being a comedian than being a musician.
Yeah. How so? Dealing with a
lot
of...
Well, you're more alone.
Uh-huh, sure.
When you tour, how do you tour?
I just do 2 hours on my own and my tour manager's with me, so it's just me.
What I mean is the travel. I don't care about the gig.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The travel...
Yeah, yeah.
It's two of you.
Two of us, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
In the car.
Yeah. In a car.
And we both control the heat on each side.
You've got too much money. Yeah, yeah. You've got too much money. You make your life too easy.
Yeah.
Not you. One makes one's life too easy. Yeah.
Do you think you've gone through that? You've made your life too easy and then had to make it hard again?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. DJing's hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's more of a solo pursuit, I guess.
I never had a tour manager for my DJing. Sometimes I should have. But I kind of, the reason I DJed was to sort of like be, I guess, to be independent and to sort of really, I guess, like get into music again, you know. Like, I mean, a bit like you know, listening to all that music and fucking sorting yourself out and shit.
Yeah, rediscovering it all again and getting connected with it. And like...
Do you find that, like, you can't watch comedy, like, just for joy?
I watch comedy for joy. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm quite bad at listening to music for joy.
Oh, really?
Because I tend to sort of think about, like, the snare drum.
Right, yeah,
know, and
sure.
I'm like, probably, I don't know, if I was mixing this...
Yeah, do know. It differently. Tweet.
I think I enjoy watching comedy that's so far away from my own.
Yeah.
So if I go and watch someone who's just is doing stand-up like me, I'm like, I am overthinking it and thinking about the whatever the snare drum in.
And what,
in
what is far away from you?
Weird shit.
Yeah.
Like, or sketch comedy or like weird character stuff. Anything that's so far away, it's not comparable. And then I can just relax and enjoy it.
Yeah. Yes. Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Mike? Poppadoms or bread?
Poppadoms or bread?
Yeah, yes. That's the choice.
Okay. I'm going to go with bread.
Bread.
Although, you know, I'm kind of a Brummy, so.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's what, a few people, but, you know, I think, were anticipating Poppadoms.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were. They were like, that guy likes a Balti.
Yeah, surely he'd say Poppadoms. I would also think, like, if I was to think which one of those two would most likely get a shout out on one of your songs, you would say Poppadoms, because it's more lyrically pleasing, just sounds it's more fun to fit into a rap or something. Poppadoms.
Yeah.
Don't you think? Rather than shouting out bread. Although, which have you shouted out either of them before?
I definitely haven't said Poppadom in a song.
No,
you're not.
Well, I'm 99% sure.
Yeah,
that seems a shame.
I can never be completely sure, but I mean, people have played me, read out the lyrics to old songs of mine.
Mm-hmm.
This was in a quiz, actually.
Yeah,
read out the lyrics to my own song. Didn't know whose it was.
Ah,
yeah. But
oldest trick in the book.
So for that reason, I'm not 100%.
Yes.
But I think something would just go bing, you know, if I'd have used Poppadom in a song. I'm trying to think. No, I'm pretty sure I've never used Poppadom. Bread, I'm probably 50% sure I've never said bread in a song.
I don't think it would be considered shouting out bread.
You know?
Well, you're just mentioning it.
Yeah. It was not like shout out to bread.
It's not like shout out to bread. There's been two shout outs on this podcast to Robust Malbecs.
Yeah, they have. You're clearly a fan of a Robust Malbec.
I'm going to go for three.
Yeah.
I'm a bit gutted that you've spotted this pattern. I'm doing that thing that you guys do.
Yeah, where
you
sort of
like go, and right at the end, I'm going to be like, like a Robust Malbec.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to be like, oh, standard my God, innovation. He was genius. I just thought he kept saying Robust Malbec.
Yeah.
See, we've spotted the snare drum. That's what it is. See,
and this is why you can't enjoy my performance.
You've done that stuff before in the past anyway. You do it on the final track on Granite Cover 3, you do that. You repeat it.
It was an accident.
Repeat certain phrases. No, it wasn't an accident. Don't make out it was an accident, Mike. I know an accident when I see one.
Do you?
Yeah.
What's an accident? What's the last accident you saw?
What's the last accident I saw? Mm. I saw my friend Nish Kumar try and jump over a fence and mess it up.
Yeah, it was very funny. I was there too.
He was trying to jump over it properly and then he messed up and he landed really hard on his side. Didn't do that on purpose.
And alcohol?
No.
No.
To be fair to him.
Yeah.
Bit.
To be fair to
him. But you also went over the fence badly and you hadn't had a drink.
Yeah, that was an accident.
Yeah, that was an accident.
I hadn't had a drink.
But I mean, comedians and DJs, I find, they either drink or they bloody well don't drink.
Sure.
You know, and I think there's, you know, it's like basically being like a travelling salesman, isn't it? You can get quite sad.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you reach for the red wine.
Yeah.
You know.
It's always red wine
as well. And it's always the little Shiraz.
Oh, yeah. He got us. I feel like a mouse caught in a trap.
Right. I'm going to get this back on track. What sort of bread, Mike? Any particular sort of bread?
Well, I just did one of those injection things on the internet and it told me that I was gluten intolerant.
Whoa, big news.
So I generally try not to have gluten, but fuck it.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, also it's the dream restaurant, so if we can sort of we can avoid some of the side effects, I think.
Yeah, okay,
because this is the dream.
But hang on.
Mm.
We talking about a starter or are we talking about bread?
No,
because fucking don't fucking.
I'm not gonna do that
because I would not choose bread over a starter.
This is an extra thing. Don't worry.
I'm not tricking you into making poppadoms or bread your starter. Calm down.
That's just
right.
Deceitful. I'm gonna go for sourdough.
Yes.
Because it's kind of less gluten in it. It's got a different like culture and that.
Uh huh.
But it still kind of tastes as good as like white bread. Because let's be honest, we just want white bread, don't we?
Right.
No one likes. Multi-grain brown bread.
I
no
think
one
I
likes
like
that.
It.
No,
I think
you're
I
lying.
Like
you're
think
lying,
I'm lying
to yourself.
To you?
Carl Jung. He would take you to pieces.
Would he?
Yeah.
Can we book him on the pod?
He's dead.
Bad luck. Who's laughing now, Carl Jung? You can make out that he's going to get one over on me. I'm not dead, am I? So who's smarter?
I think, given the choice.
At this point in time, you are way smarter than even Einstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing better than Einstein, mate.
Smarter than them all.
Well
but he wore the same suit every day, you know, just like me and Johnny Cash.
Hold on, you wear the same suit every day?
I don't wear a suit.
But you wear
but
the same clothes every day?
I pretty much wear the same clothes every day, yeah.
Do you buy the exact same thing over and over?
Yeah.
So you've got, what we're looking at now, you own those exact things multiple times?
Yeah.
Why?
It's easy to pack.
Okay.
Yeah.
So because you're moving around a lot, you want the same outfit.
It removes the decision from your life, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Steve Jobs.
Yeah, like Steve Jobs.
I mean, you know, people have said that I remind them of Steve Jobs, you know, and I don't get offended by that.
No.
You're doing better than Steve Jobs, James?
Yeah, I'm doing better than Steve Jobs.
You are...
Einstein. Ed. Doing pretty well. Winning in this game.
Is that...
That's
interesting. Yeah.
So like, it's pretty much, you're pretty much all in black, aren't you?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much.
That's every day.
Every day, yeah.
When you see people, like for more than one day in a row...
Yeah.
And you don't know them very well... Do you feel like at some point you have to say to them, by the way, this is like...
I've never had the conversation.
This is not...
But people kind of know it, you know.
They know.
Yeah.
They
no one's ever mentioned it.
No one's... No,
my children mention it, you know. But, but it's been their whole lives, so they don't...
Yeah. Well, they're there in their grey uniforms, aren't they, that you make them wear every day? Yeah. Standing there in the grey onesies that you've dressed
one
in.
One day you could wear a Hawaiian shirt and just blow their minds. They won't recognise it.
Imagine it.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like it goes so far then. You go so far into this thing that it actually would be harder to not do it rather than do it. So it's not like every day I think, well, I'm going to wear black because you know, it's like I only have black stuff. So for me to say I'm going to put on a pink shirt, it would just... That would be more weird than wearing black every day.
You'd be going out of your way.
And also people would be like, oh my God. I mean, the people I know. They'd be like, oh my God, why are you wearing a pink shirt? And I don't want to have that conversation.
Sure.
I just want to smoke and fuck and drink.
Yep.
And wear black.
Party and bullshit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be thinking about what you're wearing.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you're up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it. And then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AURAframes.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
For your starter, Mike.
Yes.
So you're starting out. We have not tricked you. We're not making our bread as your starter.
Yeah.
That's you got that bread. That's a bonus.
Yeah.
That's in the bag. The sourdough's in the bag.
It's a freebie. What would you like for your starter?
Cushy punch.
What?
So, so cushy punch is a very famous Californian weed edible.
Ah.
I'm not into weed.
Yes.
Makes me think that I left the iron on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, sure. What? I don't mean it. Makes you paranoid.
Huh?
Makes you paranoid. You
mean? Yeah, makes me think.
Yeah.
I know.
Something's
wrong.
Yeah. I know that exact feeling.
You know?
Yeah.
Don't like that feeling.
You don't like weed, however.
So, however, I don't like weed, but Cushy Punch.
Yes.
Do a indica only one. So there's like, apparently there's like two things, sativa, uh-huh. and indica is like in weed.
Yes.
And it's sativa that makes you think you left the iron on.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Someone in California has very generously removed the did I leave the iron on factor from weed.
Yeah.
And put it into a edible, a jelly.
Uh-huh.
And just left the indica bit, which is the sort of like bodily sort of thing where you just go, oh, I don't care about the iron.
Yeah, yeah.
It might be on, you know? But fuck it.
You know. So and so, yeah. And it also, as well, just makes you really enjoy food.
Oh, right. So it really gears you up for the rest of the meal as well. That's clever.
You'll be unsurprised to learn that you're the first person to pick a weed edible as their starter.
Yeah. Even though no one's picked it yet, it is 100% what all the listeners thought you were going to pick. So it's fine. So that's good.
No one's surprised?
Yeah.
Come on, James. Tell us about all your drugs experiences.
Yeah, I've never done any drugs.
Well, you have.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yes. Yeah.
Heroin.
Alcohol, coffee, all stuff. But yeah. Yeah. Of course I have. Yeah.
Ever had an operation?
Ever
been anaesthetised?
Have I? I think so, yeah. Yeah, so I have. Yeah, I have, yeah. We'll do... I'm familiar with this chat. Yeah, I've done drugs, Mike.
Actually, air is a drug because everyone's addicted to it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Air is a drug.
That's one of my opinions I have.
Yeah, yeah.
Drank water?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good point, actually. Water.
Yeah. Good point.
Water's a drug.
Female birth control pill.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's not where I thought you were going with it. But
Maybe only trace elements, but...
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
You know, I can see the boobs are developing nicely.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mike. Thank you very much. You got your eye on those for your dessert.
So the starter is to sort of gear you up for the rest of the meal, really. So it's just going to frame the meal nicely.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's a lovely way.
It's making you hungry. Does it have a flavour? This because someone like me,
they
never
do.
Had an edible.
I think the ones I get are like mango, you know.
You're going to get a mango. You know. Punchy Kush, did you say?
Cushy Punch.
Cushy Punch.
Cushy Punch.
Yeah. Punchy Cushy.
See, that's proper.
Whoa, don't touch
that's
the Punchy
really
Kush.
Showed how much of a square I am. But I'll go in, do you have a Punchy Kush for my friend Mike?
That's the one that makes you think you left the iron on the Punchy Kush.
Yeah. Don't
go
have
near
a Punchy
that.
Kush.
The Punchy Kush is awful stuff.
Punchy Kush is just like, you just feel like you're, just imagine someone beating up a cushion. A mango Cushy Punch.
A mango Cushy Punch for a starter.
Sort of jelly.
Yeah.
How
long does that take to kick in?
Yes.
That's going to be like 20 minutes.
So we'll hold off bringing your main for 20 minutes.
Yeah, what's that thing they do in the restaurant, you know, where they just do that like random check and you've always got a mouthful of food, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, they come
and
over
they go,
and say,
is everything all right? Yeah, yeah.
And you're either having the best bit of your conversation if you're with someone.
Yeah.
But I often eat alone.
Yeah.
And I'm usually like watching like something on YouTube, you know.
You can watch that in the restaurant. We can have a laptop there for you.
We can pop. What's your favorite YouTube video? We'll pop it on the big screen.
Wow. What's your favorite YouTube video?
Do you know what? There's a few that I like, and I'm quite into like. Well, I'm into ASMR quite a lot. I watch that to relax.
Wow.
Yeah.
Keyboard tapping.
I watch.
Leaves.
There's one. It's just this guy doing mesmerism on another guy.
Yeah.
Where it's just like. Just touching different parts of his body and making him relaxed, and then it makes me feel really relaxed. And I'll probably
pervert.
Yep. And it's not.
It is, but that's what it is. ASMR is just is
not pervy
perv stuff. It is. It's perv stuff.
Not pervy. There are some pervy ones, but
I think there are ones with like hot girls, which you know. Yep. I don't
watch those ones. No, thank you. Hate
you
them.
Know. And I think. It's a bit lazy to just use, you know, female sexual attraction. ASMR is not sexy.
Thank you, Mike.
Right, but it's different.
But I mean,
we
sexualize everything, don't we? Yeah. We sexualize, you know, Grand Prix racing.
Do we?
You know, on the track. And
oh,
stuff,
I thought you meant just the cars going around. I thought that might just be you.
That's phallic.
Carl Jung, actually.
Here he
said,
is.
He would take Grand Prix to pieces, Carl Jung. Absolutely destroy it.
My favourite YouTube video is there's a little Girl Scout singing about what cookies she sold, and then she's swinging on the kitchen countertop, and then she falls forward and smashes her face on the counter.
Yeah, I'll change my answer to that, actually. I've seen that, and it is really funny. Not as relaxing as the ASMR, though, but it is funny. And I know it sounds bad, Mike, but what's funny about it is that you know at the start of the video that she's going to fall over because it's in the title of the video.
Yeah.
And so you're watching it expecting it to happen. And there's a point where she's doing a victory dance because she sold so many cookies. And you think, here we go, she's about to fall. And she doesn't fall. And then she just sits back and goes, I'd sold 60. And then she falls. And it's funny that it happens at that point.
It is good.
Yeah.
So we'll pop that one on for you if you want.
You know, you're comedians, aren't you? So.
Sure. Laughing at everything.
Yeah, chuckling away.
But what's your one, though, to put up in the dream restaurant? If you want to put... It doesn't have to be your all-time favourite, but one that you like to watch while you're having your meal.
So the cushy punch is... It's settling in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're, say, 15 minutes in. We put on a YouTube video for you.
You're feeling cushy.
Okay, I'm going to go with Rick James.
Yeah.
On the Dave Chappelle show.
Yeah.
You know.
Very good classic.
Classic.
With Eddie Murphy's brother.
Yep.
Shout out to that guy.
Yeah.
The Rick James. Or the Prince one, where they play basketball.
Yeah, very funny also. So you watch some Dave Chappelle show.
We can put on a playlist. We'll put on a playlist.
We'll put on the Chappelle show playlist. You can watch all those.
No.
No? Yep. Okay.
You said, what's your favourite YouTube
Absolutely.
Video?
Okay? Absolutely.
That's what you said.
Yes.
You didn't say, what's your favourite kind of... Because, to be honest, my favourite kind of video is completely different.
Okay.
Okay.
It's like sort of lectures. I like lectures.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Know, about, like, the adaptive unconscious.
Sure.
You know, or yeah, clinical psychology or something like that.
Yeah, know. Yeah.
Can
yeah.
I just say
absolutely
that...
not. If I was to choose a genre, it would be would not be Rick James on Dave Chappelle or those kinds of videos.
I mean, it's probably the worst time to have an edible is when you've got a genie.
In a black room.
Yeah, in a black room with a genie.
The restaurant is very odd now. The black room, the black curve, you're sat in a black curve watching with the lecture about the adaptive unconscious.
Yeah, with very little light.
What a lovely starter. But 20 minutes later...
Your main course arrives. What is it?
I'm going to have 3 Impossible Burgers.
Great.
Now, I've got so much respect for the multiple.
Yeah. Also, a lot of questions about the multiple. But why 3?
Well, you know, one is never enough.
Uh-huh.
I like my food.
Yes.
Maybe not as much as my dog.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, I think that meat will be illegal in about 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
We're either going to have to eat lab-grown meat, but I think that's probably, energy-wise, probably going to be, well, at the moment, it seems almost as bad, if not worse.
Uh-huh.
So I think, really, we're going to have a plant-based diet. I'm not a vegetarian.
You're not a vegan.
I've been a vegan for a while. I don't like eating red meat because of the energy. But yeah, I'm trying.
You're trying, yeah.
I'm trying. But sometimes when you're in a foreign country, it's hard.
Yeah, it's getting easier here, I think. And the Impossible Burger is mind-blowing.
Where has this Impossible Burger come from?
Because I had it in the snazzy restaurant in LA when it came out. But you can get them. There's a chain in America that does them. I think Fat Burger does them.
Fat Burger.
But it's to do with the enzyme in blood. It tastes like blood. That's why it's good.
So this is like a little big blood burger. Mike's doing a face at me now for the listeners. You scrunched your face up.
I'm doing
a
face for radio.
You did a face. You scrunched your face up, didn't you, when you thought about the blood burger and how much you like it?
Yeah.
What else is good? So with the Impossible Burger, I always hear about how it's this fake meat burger and it bleeds if you squeeze it.
Yeah.
But what the other elements, the bun and the salad or whatever, or the sauce, are they good?
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's just
yeah. I mean, let's you know, we need to talk about the vegan cheese on there as well.
Let's talk about the vegan cheese.
Well, it, you know, I mean, I don't know the science behind it. I maybe should watch a lecture.
Yeah.
About that right now.
Yeah. I'll pop it up on the screen. Vegan cheese. Yeah.
But
Carl Jung talking about vegan cheese.
I've had my fair share of vegan cheese.
Yeah.
And this is bloody good.
What makes it better? Because sometimes I guess vegan cheese can be a bit plasticky.
Don't ask me. Ask Carl Jung.
But why am I asking Carl Jung everything today?
Vegan cheese, I think, does a very good impression of like burger cheese. So I think yes. vegan
yes, sure. yes, yeah. yes,
yes.
Vegan, vegan like, replacements for things are often really good versions of junk.
Yeah, like
junk
a vegan
things.
Cheddar is bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, you know, yeah.
Vegan blue cheese. Yeah, bad. But yeah, you're right. You yeah. hit the nail on the head.
I think because in like in burger that. Cheese, there's very little sort of cheese dairy anyway. It's just sure. plasticky, so it's a good version of it. There's a really good vegan cheese called Follow Your Heart, which is like slices of cheese, and uh-huh. there's one that's like a Pepper Jack vegan slice, which is excellent.
Pepper Jack.
Pepper Jack.
Are you vegan?
No, I did it for a while, but now I'm just trying to. I think like you, I'm just trying.
Yeah.
Trying to make good decisions.
So. I think cutting out red meat is an essential or trying to cut out red meat is pretty.
Byron you know. Have got a very good vegan burger now. It's not the Impossible Burger, but it's a version of it, and it just tastes like a really like it tastes like a bird's eye like barbecued burger. And when you want that sort of charcoal taste, it's really good.
Because of all the young chat, when you said Byron, I thought we were getting another quote. But here we go. Someone else is going to take me to pieces, Byron.
Yeah, Lord Byron cooks a lovely vegan burger.
Yeah, yeah.
He was just a fucking caner, though, wasn't he, Byron?
Was he?
Yeah.
Lord Byron, yeah.
Will he have some cookie
Mary
punch?
Shelley, she was all right.
Lord Byron She's had a pet cool. bear.
Yeah, he was just a fucking waste man.
You didn't like him? If,
Terrible alcoholic.
Was he?
Yeah.
Big old boozer.
Big time.
Caner. Had a bear.
Yeah, and they were into, you know, laudanum and shit like that and ether and stuff.
Not sure you can judge, bearing in mind your starter.
Yeah. Listen, I don't like weed. I don't like weed.
Mm. Yeah.
But you have to admit, it's pretty natural.
Sure.
You know? Yes. I mean, leaving sugar to ferment is pretty natural.
Yeah.
You know? And there's an argument to be said that, you know, we always did that and always needed to do that. And there's something that alcohol serves with to do with ripeness of fruit, you know. But we, you know, weed's pretty natural compared to, say, ether.
Mm.
Ether or you know, laudanum, you know, which is smack, liquid smack, basically, isn't it?
You well, know? We might be hearing about that with the dessert.
I just like boozing.
You like boozing, don't you, James?
I'll go out on the weekend. I like boozing. Now you say the bit about weed. We'll go back and forth for ages, and then I'll say that I'm going to batter you at the end.
So side dish, anyway. Right. Side dish.
Fine.
Korean chicken wings. Korean chicken wings.
Where are they from? Yeah.
Yes.
Because I think I'd like, as a kind of a bridge in a lot of ways, to sort of the African and Caribbean experience,
yes.
The idea that you must season your chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is important.
Yeah, unseasoned chicken is really bad. Yeah, you know, and you know, and the difference in a buffet, you know, joy from a wedding where they don't season the chicken.
Oh, God.
It's depressing. Unseasoned chicken breast is the most depressing food I can think of.
Yeah.
Yep.
But chicken's actually one of the most wonderful things
Delicious.
In the world. And when it becomes illegal,
yes.
you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a sad day.
I'll be dead.
You will be dead.
The Korean chicken wing.
Yeah.
I had some Korean chicken wings the other night. Yeah. Absolutely delicious. The gochujang, the fermented chili paste on that. It's so good.
Yeah.
Where are you getting them from? Do you make them yourself or is there a specific restaurant that you buy them from?
I can't cook, no. There's a pub that I go to sometimes. But really, you know, there's a lot out there. There's a place called Chicken Sours.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are amazing.
Yeah.
I went to Chicken Sours the other day, got a lot. I overordered, if I'm honest.
Should but do. Always, still very, always very nice.
Do you like a whiskey sour?
Yeah, I do like a whiskey sour. That was what. Actually, I kind of didn't really drink until I had a whiskey sour. And then it was a gateway because I really like sweet things and puddings.
Yeah, it's a halfway
house. I'm going to get you some laudanum, actually, some liquid smack.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're going to throw me right in at the deep end.
Give a laudanum sour.
This is what it's like. I interviewed Sean Ryder once, and he was like this with me. He was like, "I'm gonna give you so much drugs." And he invited me out for a pie, and then he gave away what his plan was by going, "I'm gonna put loads of drugs in the pie." And I was like, What?
I think he was probably joking, though. I think he was trolling. He was trolling.
He was trolling me. He told me that people like me who
people like you.
Yeah.
Dweebs.
Yeah.
You're all right.
People like me who haven't, like, you know, done drugs as much as he has. He said, I'm going to live longer than you because you're going to get into drugs when you're like 40 or 50.
I mean,
and you'll kill yourself in a year.
You know what?
That does happen.
I've definitely, there's someone quite close to me. Mm. Yeah.
Scary, isn't it? But also, you know, while I was talking to him, he was chewing gum and it was an absolute nightmare for him because it kept sticking to his teeth while he was talking in his lips. And it would kind of form a web between his two lips. And then he would try and get in there with his hand. Yeah. But then his hand would come out and it'd have the chewing gum on it. Yeah. And instead of like stopping, he just kept on talking. And I'm fucking out. I like doing that the whole time with this kind of like spider's web.
And you felt like Sigourney Weaver looking at the alien.
Yeah,
like that,
exactly.
You know? So he may live longer, but he has to live longer doing stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I had to pretend it wasn't happening for the whole thing and go, I threw a pint at Tony Wilson. Oh, fuck. Fuck me. Fucking
hell. Hang on. Is that a Manc accent?
It's a Manc with chewing gum in his mouth.
I famously can't do accents, but I think I was pretty spot on that one.
Sound like sort of John Mostyn.
Yeah.
Commentating on the football. Yeah.
He's from Manchester.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Sounds it.
So we've got Korean chicken, excellent Korean chicken wings at Bone Daddy's as well.
Oh, yeah?
And I had some really good ones at Eat 17 a couple of nights ago as well.
If there's a place in Birmingham or wherever where you can recommend for great Korean chicken wings. Somewhere.
Mellows, actually. Go to Mellows.
Mellows?
Yeah, to Mellows.
It's not Korean. It's Jamaican.
Yeah.
But Mellows is amazing.
For good
and
seasoned
It used
chicken to
be in like a disused office.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. You kind of went up these stairs and felt like you were sort of getting a temporary job, you know?
Right, yeah.
You know, when you used to sign on at an agency, you know, and sort of put things in envelopes.
Yep.
You know.
We got to do your drink,
Mike. Okay, so I'm going to drink sake, actually. Sake. Yeah, because I actually think, weirdly, it really serves every purpose.
Are you drinking it cold or hot?
It can be warm, it can be cold. Mm-hmm. And that's another reason why it's perfect.
So you're going to have both? Are you going to have both available to you on the table?
I would probably start cold, go warm.
Build it up.
End cold.
Start cold.
But
go
it's
warm,
everything. I mean,
cold.
It's, you know, it tastes great, you know. It's as you say, cold or hot, mm-hmm. you know. You can show off with it. You know, you can get expensive sake, so it's got that sort of wine thing, you know. You can be cultured, you know. Unlike, you know, they try and make beer posh, don't they? But
yeah, never works.
Yeah, you know,
never.
So it can be expensive. You know, it's also low in calories as well.
Yeah.
So
what's your point at me when you said that?
Because you're low in calories.
You're clearly you're in such good shape.
I look low in calories.
That you look like you drink a lot of sake.
Yeah,
I drink a lot of sake. It,
I did a sake.
I think that was pretty sake.
Sake tasting experience at a Japan.
You are what you drink, Mike. Do you like that? Do you like that little dad joke I just made? There he is. That's a fake hiccup. First fake hiccup on the pod.
And you stuttered then.
Yeah, I did do a little stutter.
You nervous?
Yeah, very nervous. Interviewing Mike Skinner.
I would talk along that line, but that would mean me talking in the third person. And that would be like Craig David.
Which you admire and respect?
Mike Skinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would loves to be on this show.
Yes.
Anyway.
Mike's eating an orange for the listener. That's not what that noise is.
Not for the listener. We're letting you know. He didn't come in and go, I'm going to eat this for the listener.
You are doing it for the listener, right? So that they can.
I actually didn't want you to tell them I was eating an orange. I wanted it to sound like something else.
Oh, yeah?
You know, like when they smash someone's head in a film and it's actually just a watermelon.
Oh, yes. Foley artist. You wanted them to think that you were murdering someone.
I was just doing a bit of Foley there for you, really.
Also, anyone who likes ASMR would have enjoyed that, you eating an orange into the...
Yeah, we know how they would have enjoyed it. Like, everyone enjoys
ASMR. But it's because I'm so sexy, isn't it? That's really why they're watching it, is because I'm so sexy. They don't care about the orange noises. That's what I... That's the bit of ASMR that I hate.
Yeah.
Is this really ASMR? Like really ten toes?
Yeah, I don't like the mouth noises. I don't like them. Your mouth noises are fine, Mike.
Yeah.
Just to be clear. But on ASMR videos, when they do the mouth noises, it doesn't do it.
Are you a mouth breather?
Yeah. I breathe through my mouth a lot.
Yeah.
And I didn't realise it was a thing until I heard the term mouth breathe, and I was like, oh, God, that's me.
Doesn't it mean you're thick as well?
Yeah, probably.
People say mouth breather to mean...
Hold on a second.
I do think, you guys have to do press shots, don't you, when you're doing your run at Edinburgh. Yeah. You have to get a photographer in and that. I do think that men with their mouth open look stupid.
I thought that last word was going to be called.
I also think that if you only show one ear in a photo...
Yeah.
So close your mouth, only show one ear.
Right.
And then it works.
I mean, you just look fucking sexy.
Actually,
one ear.
I'm thinking back now.
Yeah.
A lot
of your album covers, you're looking to the side, ain't you?
Well, I'm not on my album covers.
You have been on some of your album covers.
Grand Don't Come For Free, I was on the cover of that.
Yeah, and the one after that?
Hardest Way To Me. What was the cover of that? It was on the Rolls Royce.
Yeah, you're looking the other way.
All right.
But you're looking to the side.
It wasn't like a press shot, was it?
One ear, you got your mouth shut. Am I right or am I wrong?
Well, I didn't
know.
I didn't know about it then.
Yeah, your mouth shut you're looking to the side.
I obviously knew a few things, didn't I?
You're there. We get to my favourite course of all the courses.
Dessert. Deep fried Mars.
Yes.
Straight in. Yes.
Because I think anyone who says that's not the best dessert ever is lying to themselves.
I agree with you, and I've never had one. Because I'm in the firing line again. The reason why I've never had one is because I like dessert so much that I know if I have one, it will ruin my life. That is what... When Sean Ryder goes on about when I get into drugs, not at all.
That's how you're going to die, isn't
when
it?
When I get into deep fried Mars bars, that's when my life's over.
But I think you could put on a few pounds without it being a problem.
Thank you very much.
But you can't, you actually can't, because he eats more than I've ever seen anyone eat.
Really?
And a lot of sweets and a lot of desserts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the way he looks.
Okay.
It's impossible. I think it's all
still clogged up.
Oh, you think I think it's saved up somewhere, and then you're going to hit 40.
He's fat inside. Yeah. That's the thing, isn't it? Fat inside, thin outside.
Absolutely.
That's really a lot of people are that.
Yeah. Carl Jung would describe you as having a fat subconscious.
Oh, he would take me apart.
Yeah, he would be more metaphorical.
He would say fat is cuddling you in a warm embrace.
Mm.
Oh, that's a nicer way of putting it, actually. But yeah,
Fat wants you.
Look me directly in the eyes when he said that.
Fat wants you. So the deep fried Mars bar, does that need to be with anything else? Are you just?
It doesn't have to be. No, it doesn't have to be.
Would you like it with anything else?
I wouldn't. No, I would just. Deep fry the Mars. But you know, whenever I've had one, I could have another one straight away.
Yeah. I've seen people
I just think it's like, let's be honest, shall we? You know, we've evolved, you know, for millions of years, you know, to just really just be, to want to put energy in our bodies, you know, as effectively and quickly as we can. And the deep fried Mars, there's not really, you know, any more effective way of getting calories into your body.
So do you think the deep fried Mars represents the pinnacle of human achievement?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So why not have it as a dessert if it's the pinnacle of human achievement? Or a starter? No. Well, no, because you've got the cushy punch as the starter.
Yeah, but I do think it's good to have fruit for your starter sometimes because, you know, obviously fruit takes less time to break down. And so if you have fruit after your, let's say, steak and chips, it can actually ferment.
Okay. Right. And which one of the cushy punch or deep fried Mars is fruit?
Neither.
No, so you're introducing fruit.
Well, it's mango flavour, the cushy punch, isn't it?
Oh, is this an interview or am I being taken to pieces by Carl Jung?
Yeah, we are kind of a Carl Jung tag team, me and Ed. Absolutely destroyed you.
Freud over there.
Yeah. He's got you. Have you ever watched Deep Fried Masters? Is that what it's called, Ed?
I think it's called that, yeah.
Deep Fried Masters. It's on Netflix.
No.
It's just a bunch of people deep frying stuff in like a bake-off kind of competition.
Oh, Masters.
Yeah.
Deep Fried Masters.
You had a problem with Masters, did you?
Well, my kids have a problem with Masters.
Do they? Your kids saying Masters, do they?
Yeah, and I think it's good to have all of your conflict in the house.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's true of children, but also I think it's true of adults.
Yes.
So, yeah, I use that sort of daily disrespect and emasculation. And so I harness that.
Yeah.
And I come out to these podcast situations, you know, where I'm being grilled, quite frankly, by Carl Jung and
you're being
Mr.
fried.
Freud over there.
Yeah.
And I say, yeah, fucking masters.
So then when you made out you didn't know what I'd said, you were...
I made out. No, I genuinely didn't know what you were talking about.
You didn't know.
You heard masters, which your kids say
all the time, and you didn't understand what I meant.
Are you aware of an oral pun and a visual pun? Yeah.
Yeah.
So in our game, you know, we have to avoid oral puns.
Yes.
Yeah. We need to be understood.
Yes.
First and foremost, if you want to get that joke over the net.
Yeah.
I'm going to get it over the net.
Yes.
Always play tennis with someone better than you, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get it over the net. You want to avoid oral puns.
Okay.
Oral puns. Yeah.
Yes.
Deep fried masters sounds like deep fried Mars. So in my head, I'm thinking deep fried Mars.
So
basically, I'm thinking, okay, well, what do they do? They just deep fry a Mars every time.
Yeah.
So I'm confused. You didn't get the joke over the net. You didn't get the joke
well,
over the net.
Well, I wasn't trying to get
if
a joke,
you'd have
anyway.
Said, if you'd have said deep fried masters.
What a joke. I was asking you a serious question if you'd seen that TV show, and it sounded like I did an accidental joke. That's how good I am.
If he said deep fried masters, I would have said, you don't normally say masters, you say masters. You're trying to show off for Mike Skinner.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
That's what he would have called me out on. If I said,
but
have you watched deep fried masters?
The deep fried masters, I totally understand that, and he's got you there.
Yeah, he has got me there.
And for that reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave this podcast right now.
No, you can't leave.
Because it's almost time to have
can't
my
leave.
No one's ever
got so many more questions.
No one's ever left of their own accord at the end.
That's good.
Normally we wrap it up. No one's ever come in and gone, weed for starter, deep fried bars for dessert.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. See you later.
Before you go, Mike. Who is the lady you sing about in When You Wasn't Famous? Just say that before the end. Just say who it was. Just name it. Just say it now.
It would end their career.
Oh, I think I know who it was.
Right.
I figured it out from that. I figured it out. Oh, Benito's holding your...
Benito Fossilini.
Benito Fossilini has handed me your order. So I'll read your order back to you. See how you feel about it, Mike, okay?
Yeah, but can you not do the sort of the midway check thing?
The midway check?
I'll be watching lectures.
Oh, yeah, I will not check with you midway. I promise you. I will not be checking with you midway. You would like sparkling water, or as you put it, what did you say?
Mitsprudel.
Wassermitsprudel. You would like some sourdough bread.
Yeah, which I probably will just put the napkin over the top of.
Yeah.
Because that's a really good way. If you don't want to eat any more, just put the napkin on
hide
top.
Hide it under the napkin.
Just do that.
Always play tennis with someone better than you.
My friend Stuart Goldsmith once saw someone who once she decided she didn't want to eat anything.
Yeah.
She would get the glass of water she had and just pour it over her meal.
I mean... That's basically the same thing, but you're attracting attention for that.
Yeah.
I used to do that with cigarettes when every time I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Run them under the tap.
All of them, the whole box.
Because if you put a dry box in the bin, you're going through the bin.
That's quite cracky, isn't it?
Yeah.
Going through the bin.
I mean, exactly.
You're quite a cracky guy.
But I know I'd do it, so I had
to. Don't do laudanum.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Don't do liquid smack.
I don't think you can find laudanum these days, can you?
I could ask around.
You track it down. Yeah.
Mike probably can get some in a moose. Yeah, you're fine. For your starter, you would like some cushy punch, mango flavour.
Yeah, I think it's mango. I might, maybe if your fact checkers can speak to my lawyers.
Get Benito to Google that and contact your lawyers. Main course, I'd forgotten about this. Three impossible burgers.
Yeah.
Side of Korean chicken wings. Drink, you would like sake. And for dessert, you would like a deep-fried Mars bar.
Yes.
Sounds good to you?
I'm pretty happy right now.
It's nice.
Yeah, that's really good. I really like that you've got the three impossible burgers because you're trying to eat less meat, and then you immediately follow it on with some fried chicken wings. You're like, I tried. What can I say? I tried.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yes, I was delicious.
I mean, we could switch out the wings for jackfruit wings. You know?
No, we're keeping the chicken. The chicken.
We've got to have your favourite.
Seitan, seitan.
Seitan. Seitan, seitan.
Well, that's kind of evil, that stuff, I think.
Sure.
But that's a different podcast.
It's implied in the name. Is that a visual pun or an oral pun that I just did?
No, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that pun works.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, well done, man.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Very happy to announce your new podcast.
Yeah.
Seitan's Chicken Wings.
Yes.
Seitan Chicken Wings.
Seitan Chicken Wings, brackets, oral puns with James Acaster. Yeah.
In the depths of Beelzebub, the depths of Hades.
Will you play Beelzebub in it? Are you someone to play the devil? It'd be funny if you did.
I'd like to play God, actually.
Mm, you'd be God.
I think he's underrepresented.
You see him more of a God?
He's more of a God.
He's
I
not
think.
Been picking on you. So who?
I mean, I'd rather be God than Satan.
If you were God,
fucking hell,
who would play Satan?
Biggest question we've ever had at the end
Morgan
of the podcast.
Morgan Freeman.
You'd have Morgan Freeman, Satan, so he's played both roles.
Well, I don't like people being typecast.
Sure. show his range. Show range.
Always play tennis with someone better than you.
Yeah, range. Oh, sorry, range. Is that the Brummie way of saying it?
No, range. Range.
Thanks so much for coming into the Dream Restaurant, Mike. And
Boston.
And just as a gift, as you leave, we've bought you a bottle of Robust Malbec.
Oh, you didn't say it properly.
It would have been so good.
He absolutely shanked it at the end.
It would have been so good.
Thank you for nanking me in the pancreas. With that superb use of a circular plotting.
That's what we live for. Nanking in the pank. You got nanked in the pank, Skinner.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Skinner, everybody.
There he is, Mike Skinner. Got pretty deep, that ep.
Pretty deep. So much to discuss.
So much to talk about.
I found myself in the crosshairs once or twice, but you know, it's par for the course being a genie.
You got gunned down, mate.
I got gunned down every now and again, but that's fine.
I think you finally met your Jafar.
Oh, maybe Mike Skinner is my Jafar. That's exciting.
I should have said that on the actual episode, but I was too busy thinking about the fact he picked weed as a starter.
Yes, he did pick weed as a starter, and fair play to him. It sounded all right.
Look, I loved that episode that we were all sat in a dark, in a pitch black restaurant. Not even in a restaurant. We were just sat in dark, but there was somehow a curve.
Yeah.
And then he put a YouTube video on and popped an edible.
Yeah. Of course he did.
Different vibe. A very different
very
vibe
different
to previous
vibe to normal.
But we respect that and we encourage that. The menu was interesting. It was offbeat. We finished with a deep fried Mars bar. You can't argue with that.
And he did not say plenty of fried tomatoes, so we did not kick him out of the dark curve.
Which I think you were slightly disappointed by that he did not say plenty of fried tomatoes, because I bet you would have loved that, because it would be like being at a concert.
Yep, I kind of worked. I mean, obviously, you know, I fanboyed out every now and again. He wasn't having any of it. He battered it away like a professional.
I'm very surprised you fanboyed out in such an obvious way as well.
Yep. Well, I'll talk you through my thinking, Ed.
Yeah.
He was in a Larry mood, and I thought it'd be really funny to really obviously fanboy out and see if it'll wind him up.
Wind him up, and it didn't.
He was absolutely fine with it.
Thanks so much to Mike Skinner for coming in, and he's got new music coming soon, we're told.
Very exciting indeed.
What have you got coming up, James?
Just this and that, knocking about. My book, Perfect Sound Whatever, which Mike mentioned in the podcast.
He did, actually. That was nice. Yeah.
that's out. It's about music and about the 2016 being the greatest year for music of all time. What about you, Ed? What are you up to?
Oh, I do. Depending on when this comes out, I might be on tour. Go onto my website, edgamble.co.uk, to check that out. But I do have a special that is available on Amazon Prime. Video.
Blood Sugar,
it's called, and I'm very happy with it, so pop yourself on there, have a little watch of that. And if you're interested in some of the restaurants that we mentioned and want to know more about them, or you think you remember us talking about a restaurant but you don't remember the name of it, you have two options. One, you can go onto our website, offmenupodcast.co.uk, or you can just listen back to the podcast and listen for the names.
Or you can tweet the Off Menu official Twitter, and you could ask Benito himself every single week.
So there's the three options. Go on to the website, offmenupodcast.co.uk. You can listen back to the episode, or you could tweet Benito and ask him what the restaurant was called. Now, of course, one of the bonuses of doing a food podcast is people do just send us stuff, which is great. But people out there seem to think we're absolute boozers, because we have received a lot of beer and a lot of gin, quite frankly. Northern Monk, who are a brewer that I love the name of and the cans immediately, have sent us the full range. I've got one called Faith here, which is a modern pale ale.
Oh, what else we got? New World India Pale Ale here.
Heathen, which is my bag, actually. I'm a bit more of a heathen.
You are a bit of a heathen, aren't you?
But I'll be taking away these cans and enjoying them very much. Thank you so much to Northern Monk. This is the exciting one for me, booze-wise, James. Mm. Fairs Distillery have sent us our own off-menu gin, the only one that exists in the world, bottle one of one, batch number, oh my God, one. Look at that.
Wow.
Our own gin. It's a handwritten label. It is just a one-off off-menu gin.
It's wax sealed, that bottle.
It's wax sealed. And you know what? I'm taking this.
Yeah. Let me know how it tastes.
It says off-menu gin for Ed Gamble and James Acaster. Bad luck. You've written it in pen. I can rub off James Acaster.
To rub me off. Still remember me.
No, you're gone. You're gone. I'm going to drink a bottle of gin and forget you ever exist.
Well, there's another bottle of gin here, Ed, that I could console myself with.
Oh,
from
yeah.
Puerto de Indias.
Oh, yeah. What's that gin?
It's the Civilian gin. Strawberry gin.
There you go. That's much more up your street.
Strawberry gin.
Now, what else have we been sent, James?
Oh, some other drinks here from Nicks and Kicks. They're like a soft drink, low in calories and caffeine. They put spice in them. All these drinks have a bit of cayenne pepper in them.
Spicy drinks.
No added sugar, vegan drinks. So I've got a few of those there. Blood orange and turmeric, watermelon and hibiscus, mango and ginger, cucumber and mint. Or with a bit of spice.
I want to put a bit of gin in those. And also we've been sent Doisy and Dam dark chocolate hazelnut buttercups and some peanut buttercups, I think, as well, which are like vegan buttercups. They've sent us these for free. Probably put that out there. They've sent
almond,
us these for free.
Not peanut.
Almond, sorry.
Almond and some hazelnut, Ed.
And sorry to say to Doisy and Dam, I've already bought your product and enjoyed it in the past, so you've sent it to me for free for no reason in your face.
Very clever. Very clever of you, Ed.
So thank you very much for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you again soon in the off-menu restaurant.
Keep it cooking.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast just coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.